Welcome back. Hope everyone had a good 5 minutes and got some fresh air and got to walk around. Next up on our agenda is our scallop committee report. I will turn it over to Ms. Griffin.
Thank you, Chair, and I will keep it brief because we are going to have a presentation from staff on the final report of the long-awaited LAGC IFQ program review, and I think we just have to, I'll have a motion at the end of this to approve that report, so otherwise I'll just hand it over to staff.
Thank you and good afternoon, council members. As the chair said, we'll be covering a presentation on the SCOLLOP General Category IFQ program review. I'm joined with Chandler Nelson as well. We'll be sharing this report, and we'll go ahead and get started. First off, I'd like to thank our technical working group from the Science Center. We had Dr. Robert Murphy from the Science Center Social Science Branch. From the regional office, Emily Keeley and Dr. Ben Gagliardi. Myself, Chandler Nelson, Dr. Naresh Pradhan and Jonathan Peros from council staff, as well as support from Greg Ardini from the social sciences branch, NOAA OLE staff, Melissa Aaron from Northern Economics, and Dr. Kanai Tokunaga and Catherine Maltby from the Gulf of Maine Research Institute. So the purpose, need, and scope of this general category IFQ review, this is a Magazine-Stevens Act required review for all limited access permit programs, including catch-share programs, to help determine the progress towards meeting the goals and objectives of both the Magazine-Stevens Act and the program itself outlined, in this case, in Amendment 11. The schedule of these reviews are mandated to be 5 years after the implementation of the program and no more than 7 years thereafter. In this case, our program review was initiated 7 years after the previous review. We're completing it a little bit more than 7 years after the previous review period. The scope of this general category IFQ review is focusing on the IFQ program and the fishery participants. There are some instances in the report that include data on limited access vessels or limited access vessels with general category IFQ permits. Those are included in the general pool of IFQ vessels unless otherwise stated. There are other aspects where we compare with the limited access fishery or Northern Gulf of Maine, which is an LAGCB permit. And we compare with those components of the fishery occasionally throughout the document where those comparisons would be helpful to provide context. And this review period covers all years since the previous review, so the 7 years from fishing year 2016 through 2023. So the brief outline of the report before we dive in. Section one would be the purpose, need, and scope of the review. Section two of the document is a summary of the general category IFQ fishery and management history. Section three jumps into the evaluation, first focusing on aggregate trends during the review period from 2016 to 2023. Second, focusing on the economic performance and overall net benefits to the nation of the IFQ fishery. Third, focusing on the distributional analyses, particularly around diversity and concentration. Four, on conservation and management. And then the fifth section focuses on safety, compliance, and enforcement information. The fourth section of the document focuses on just a summary of findings and then acknowledgments and references. So zooming out, the overall vision of the general category IFQ fishery that the council outlined in Amendment 11 and reaffirmed in Amendment 21 was to control the capacity and fishing mortality in the general category scallop fishery through four overall objectives. The first, to allocate a portion of the total available scallop harvest to the general category fishery. The second, to establish criteria to qualify a number of vessels for limited entry. The third, to develop measures to prevent the limited entry general category fishery from exceeding their allocation. And the four, to develop measures to address incidental catch of scallops while fishing for other species. jumping into the history of management, go through this quickly. The SCALP FMP was implemented in 1982, followed by a limited entry under Amendment 4 in 1994. For those general category vessels that did not qualify, that was an open access permit with a possession limit. In 1999, following that increase in general category fishing activity, we went from an average of about 200,000 pounds of landings up to about 3 to 7 million pounds of landings around 2004 to 2006. The council set a control date of November 1st of 2004. That was used in Amendment 11, which happened from 2005 through 2007. Was implemented in June 1st of 2008, or effective June 1st in 2008, and had a lead-in period where it was fully implemented in March 1st of 2010. That had an allocation of 5.5% of the scallop resource and split out three permit categories for the IFQ component, the Northern Gulf of Maine, and incidental permit. We've really seen a decline in the number of permits following the implementation of the IFQ program from about 2,500 permits pre-Amendment 11 down to 281 permits in 2023. And active permits were about 320 before Amendment 11 and down to 91 in 2023. So during that transition period to the IFQ program, there was a 10% TAC allocation that was set aside for the general category fishery. Again, that was open access at that point. And that was in place until the IFQ program was could be fully implemented. After that point, through Amendment 11, the IFQ component would receive a fixed allocation of 5.5% of the overall TAC for the scallop fishery. That started off being 5.5% of the ACL, the scallop fishery ACL, and that was later changed under framework 28, actually, there's a typo there, to 5.5% of the annual projected landings. So there could be a review of that quota allocation. That was not something that we analyzed through this review, but some of the criteria that could trigger a reevaluation of the general category IFQ quota allocation could be based on public input around fishery performance, a formal petition, a certain length of time since the last reevaluation of that allocation, or any indicator-based criteria. Several important changes to the IFQ program that happened during this review period that we want to highlight before jumping into the analyses. First off, Framework 28. Set the general category IFQ allocation to 5.5% of that total allocation, that annual projected landings. So that was really a change that allowed spatial management to apply to the IFQ component. That also changed so that only landings were really considered rather than landings and discards, which is an important difference between how the ACL, the overall legal limits, are set versus the projected landings that set allocations. Under Framework 29, the IFQ component began being allocated a set number of access area trips that were directly proportional to the limited access fisheries access area allocation, which would be 5.5% in at first 600-pound trips and then 800-pound trips as of Amendment 21, the number of trips proportional to that 5.5% of the limited access fisheries allocation. And then lastly, under Amendment 21, that really restructured the Northern Gulf of Maine management area, really shifting it from what was a de facto open access fishery into a capped new management area, set up the current total allowable landing sharing system, and provided the guaranteed allocation of the Northern Gulf of Maine fishery. And that was accessible to the general category IFQ component at a 200-pound possession limit. That all under Amendment 21, that also allowed temporary transfers of quota from the limited access vessels that also qualified for an IFQ permit. They were then allowed to lease quota to other general category IFQ-only vessels. That also lastly increased the general category IFQ possession limit to 800 pounds, up from 600 pounds prior. So overall, the four questions that we attempt to address with this review, firstly, has the general category IFQ program resulted in benefits to the nation, including the evaluation of biological, economic, and social criteria in decision-making? Has the program preserved the ability for vessels to participate in the general category fishery at different levels and prevented excessive shares? Third, has it controlled capacity, mortality, and promoted fishery conservation and management? And has it promoted fishing safety, compliance, and enforcement? And now I'll turn it over to Chandler Nelson to dive in some of the analyses.
Awesome. Thank you, Connor. All right. So the following slides are general trends that created the foundation for our analysis. Our review period covers two distinct periods in the fishery. There's 2016 to 2019, which saw an increase in scallop biomass and near record highs. In 2019, we saw the highest landings within the last two review periods. And then the next distinct period is 2020 to 2023, which saw a decline in scallop biomass. And 2023, we saw the lowest landings that have been recorded in the last two review periods. So our review kind of in general is sandwiched between those 2 years with the highest highs and the lowest lows. There we go. Okay. All right, so looking at the landings history, between the qualifying date in 2001 to the control date in 2004, when the IFQ program was really set in stone, you see that increase in landings. Then the baseline years are kind of initial comparison years before the implementation of the program. And landings have been stable and declining over the course of the current review period. And 2023, as I said, saw the lowest landings of the fishery since implementation. Looking at the per vessel IFQ scallop landings, vessel numbers peaked after the control date and then started to decline during the baseline period. It's been relatively stable since the last review period, but declining slightly. And per vessel landings largely increase as the number of vessels go down, but we do see a large decrease after 2019. Here we have the average price per pound for IFQ vessels, as well as revenue. 2016 was the best year on record for the fishery, and then 2023 was the worst. Again, our review period kind of sandwiches between those two extremes. We do see a slight increase in price over time. So as far as aggregate trends, from our two review periods, 2010 to 2015, and then 2016 to 2023, allocation decreased from about 4 million pounds in 2015 to 1.15 in 2023. Fishing year 2023 allocation was approximately 75% lower than that peak in 2016. Landings decreased by 1.3%. Revenue decreased by 1.9%. Total crew positions decreased from 402 in 2016 to 223 by 2023. Income decreased from about $2,500 per day at sea to about $1,600, which is about a 36% decrease. Average days fished has remained stable, but the total number of trips has decreased. It's worth noting that in 2022, the possession limit increased, so fewer trips were required to catch allocation. And then fleet capacity has also decreased by 15.5%. The fleet capacity is an index that is calculated as the number of vessels multiplied by average gross tonnage, average length, and average horsepower. And then all of the values that are provided here are in 2023 dollars, but have been adjusted for inflation. From our economic analysis, we found that capital costs have gone down by about 42%. Labor costs have increased by about 15% compared to that earlier review period. Landings have decreased by 1.34%, but producer surplus has increased by 6.4%. Net revenue has seen a very slight decrease by 0.1%. So a couple of scenario analyses were performed for this economic review, asking the question of what are the impacts of the IFQ program on producer surplus and profits when examined separately from the changes in landings and prices. And the answer to that question that we found was under the program, producer surplus and profits for the fishery increase compared to pre-implementation. So the economic analyses, both relative to the baseline period of 2010, both of the economic analyses relative to the baseline period of 2010 to 2015 show that the impacts on net national benefits as measured by producer surplus were overall positive. And then increased productivity and concentration of effort in fewer vessels and affiliations does result in higher profits from the reference period, as well as the period prior to the implementation of the IFQ fishery, just as something to note. So looking at the average scallop revenue per affiliation, we see an overall slight decline in revenue per affiliation, and number of affiliates has varied. Consolidation has decreased overall entities, but revenue per affiliation has remained relatively stable. And just to kind of clarify, in most of our review, we look at permit level data, but there are a lot of affiliations that own multiple permits. So looking at affiliation level instead of the permit level catches more of that nuance in consolidation. As far as crew positions and income, we saw a decline in the number of crew positions due to a decrease in effort and consolidation of vessels, as well as a decline in income per crew position. So an overall decline in the economic outlook for the crew in the fishery. But crew positions don't necessarily mean individual people. The majority of crew work on multiple vessels and capture multiple crew positions. So just to kind of walk through the trends in each column here for permanent transfers, the total amount of quota transferred has decreased during this period. 2016 had peak IFQ landings, so we see more quota transfers. And then 2021 to 2023, that quantity has declined. The number of transactions was high in 2016 and has declined, and the number of permits engaging in quota transfers overall has largely declined, as have the average price has slightly increased, and the total value was high in 2016, but it has also declined. Again, just a little bit of context to add, quota transfers are a means of flexibility, and they are a hallmark of the IFQ program, of IFQ programs in general. That ability to buy and sell quota is key here. So the fact that that ability is there may indicate a stable quota market over this period, and no concerns that the market itself is declining. Give me a sec, sorry. Looking at the leasing out of quota, the amount that is leased out has slowly declined. The proportion that is leased out from that total quota has increased. And about 25% of that is being leased out to other permits that have IFQ. And then leasing for those with no quota associated with their permit, that number has increased. The amount that they lease is relatively stable, but the amount leased from the base total has increased. We see that about half of the fishery is lease dependent. But as a note, some of this can happen within a single affiliation, where they might transfer a bunch of quota onto a permit and then lease that out to other permits that they own. So this would look like a lease in our data. Going to transfer lease and X vessel prices, there's been an increase in scallop price and in quota price. In 2021, scallop price was about $20 per pound, which is an average across market grades. For the quota price, we saw a peak in 2017 and then again in 2021. Generally, it sits above about $50 per pound, which makes it pretty expensive to buy quota, which then makes the fishery more lease dependent as people can't afford to buy quota. We did not look at the impact of permit banks for this review, though. That would impact lease price, but just something to keep in mind. Looking at the ratio of quota price to scallop price, something to note is that it has almost doubled over our review period here. With our permits by activity, we've seen a decrease in the number of active permits and an increase in the number of permits that renewed but did not land any scallops. And then we also have seen a decrease in the number of permits in CPH. This really just allows us to visualize that increase in permits that don't have quota attached to them. So kind of going back to that leasing and consolidation that we've been discussing. So then looking at we've jumped into our second question here. Has the program preserved the ability for vessels to participate in the general category fishery at different levels and/or prevented excessive shares? So looking at the reliance on scallop revenue, it has the amount of scallop revenue per active affiliation has decreased over our review period. And the percent of vessels with less than 50% of their revenue from scallops has also decreased from the pre-IFQ period to the current review period. The decrease in the percent of vessels with less than 50% of their revenue from scallops may further suggest that some affiliations may have leased out or sold their quota to others who more actively target scallops or have a higher economic reliance on the scallop fishery. The percent of vessels with 100% of their revenue from scallops has increased. And then there's a declining number of permit holders with less than 50% of their revenue from scallops, and an increase in affiliations that are driving 100%. So while declining ability to participate in the fishery, the ability to participate in the fishery at different levels is still maintained. As another way to visualize that reliance on scallops, that move towards 100% reliance on scallops as opposed to other species, we have a diversity of catch index here. So an index closer to one indicates that revenue came from a single species group. So we can see that vessels are increasingly relying more on scallops for revenue. The IFQ permitted vessels trend towards less diverse catch portfolios, especially from 2010 to 2020. And then from 2020 to 2023, the portfolios have been the least diverse. Give me a sec, sorry. All right. On the distribution of allocations, in 2010, 90% of the fleet owned 60% of the quota. And then in 2023, 90% of the fleet owned 50% of the quota. Allocations are becoming more concentrated over our review period, but from 2020 to 2023, they've been largely stable, which corresponds with the recent period of reduced fishery allocations and lower landings. the concentration of quota allocations is driven by an increasing concentration among inactive affiliations. So in 2023, there were 70 inactive IFQ permits that held 49% of the quota. And then I will hand it back over to Connor. Oh, wait, sorry. Didn't realize there was that second graph here. For you to look at the Gini coefficients for the IFQ-only fleet, you can really see that stability at the end there that I was talking about from 2020 to 2023.
All right, thank you, Chandler. Moving on to the geographic concentration of permits and then landings in the IFQ fishery. First off, looking at these two tables here showing on the left total IFQ permits by the state of home port between 2016 and 2023, and on the right, the number of active IFQ permits by home port state. And so in 2023, 55% of IFQ permitted vessels were home ported in New England states. That was a 5% increase from 2016. When we look at active vessels, a much larger increase with 65% of active IFQ permitted vessels were home ported in New England, an increase from 44% in 2016. Our real conclusion there is that that is largely being driven by declines in the nearshore scallop biomass in the mid-Atlantic and the southern extent of the resource that have really shifted vessel activity towards Georges Bank and the Gulf of Maine, something that we've noted really throughout the rest of the fishery as well. When it comes to revenue, here are the table showing year by year across our review period, the ex-vessel value of IFQ landed scallops by port. And really the main conclusion here that we saw a large shift in the most valuable ports for the IFQ fishery, shifting from many of the ports throughout New Jersey, largely Point Pleasant, New Jersey, and by the end of the review period, that had largely shifted into New Bedford imports on the Cape. Other important mid-Atlantic ports at the beginning of the review period and that were really noted through the previous review period, Barnegat Light, Cape May, Long Beach, Atlantic City, and Wildwood, New Jersey, see far fewer IFQ landed scallops through this review period, with some of these ports really not seeing any IFQ landed scallops by the end of the review period. And over that same time, we saw a relatively stable value of IFQ landings into New Bedford and a stable or increasing trend in many of the ports on the Cape and Provincetown, Chatham, Harwich Port, as well as in Gloucester with the growth of the Northern Gulf of Maine fishery as well. Another piece of data that we looked at, we had two surveys where that we included in this review. We'll note that both of these we have, say, relatively sparse data or major caveats in the interpretation of these survey data. Firstly, the Science Center's crew survey data it was by the end of the period, the 2023-2024 survey, removed a question that parsed out the permit type within the scallop fishery, and so we really don't have the ability to compare apples to apples and look only at crew that participate in the IFQ fishery versus the limited access or Northern Gulf of Maine fishery. And so we're really considering these as larger context around crew experiences within the scallop fishery as a whole. And on the right, a survey conducted by Northern Economics and the Gulf of Maine Research Institute as part of a larger project that did focus on the IFQ participants, but did occur outside of our review period. Again, just kind of noting those caveats and the context that we used to interpret this information. But some of the trends that we have observed through these survey data, within the scallop fishery, a overall decline in the age and experience of crews over the course of these three survey periods, a decline in the number of hours worked per day, an easier ability to find employment in the fishery, decreasing satisfaction and participation in management, in the management process. Again, an overall ease of finding employment, greater satisfaction with their overall earnings in the fishery, but also a declining declining crew share with an increasing burden of other costs being included and taken out of their crew share over that period. In the Gulf of Maine Research Institute and Northern Economics Survey, the respondents indicated that more than 50%, at least most or all of their quota, and more than 60% participated with quota banks. They noted that quota affordability was a widespread concern. Almost 80% had income from a fishery other than scallops, and overall noted that job satisfaction within the IFQ fishery was high, their enjoyment, safety, and earnings also high. There were concerns noted about the upward mobility and long-term stability of the IFQ fishery. They also noted low involvement with management and a dissatisfaction with management practices. Moving on to our third question around controlled capacity conservation and management. Here showing the revenue for the IFQ fishery from the previous review period from 2010 to 2015 through, again, 2016 through 2023 in comparison to that fleet capacity index, showing that over this review period, the fleet capacity has declined to the lowest levels seen in our final year of the review period in 2023, but also noting that that is our lowest year in overall IFQ revenue over that review period as well. Looking at catch utilization and overall management performance, over the review period, 42 to 81%. The IFQ fishery had harvest had achieved about 42 to 81% against their overall catch limits, that 5.5% of the ACL. This is a slight increase from 2016 to 2020, but the IFQ landings really have remained relatively stable over that period. In 2017, not 2019, the IFQ allocation did change from that 5% of the ACL to 5% of the APL. And so this doesn't actually reflect the spatial management of what was available for harvest in the IFQ fishery. So when we take a step further and look at performance against the APL, which is the bottom plot there, we see that overall IFQ landings have remained about 5% of the annual projected landings since the conversion from the ACL to the APL and how the IFQ quota allocation was set. There was a spike in 2016 right before that switch happened, with about 8% of the APL being achieved. And when compared to the overall catch limits for the fishery, the overall ACL, it's about 2 to 5% achieved across the from 2010 through 2023 for the whole period of the IFQ program. Moving on to landings per unit effort. Overall, the IFQ fishery has had relatively stable LPUE across this period. Slight declines again in 2023, where we really saw declines in scallop biomass start to really affect overall landings throughout the limited access and IFQ fisheries. We see a relatively little variation from year to year. That's a little bit more evident when compared to the limited access fishery, where landings per day were over 2,000 pounds for many years. For the IFQ fishery, it really remained from about 500 to 600 pounds declined to about 416 pounds per day by the end of the review period. Moving on to the distribution of fishing effort. So we see on the table here, looking at the access areas where the IFQ trips were being taken for both the open bottom, Northern Gulf of Maine, or available access areas that were allocated in that fishing year. For the most part, about 45 to almost 80% of IFQ trips are taken in the open bottom. Major access areas that were available to the IFQ component, those change from year to year. That's set in our annual specifications. But the major access areas where the IFQ component opted to take their trips has really shifted as some of the inshore and southern access areas have really declined and more access area opportunities were available out on Georgia's Bank. So when the Mid-Atlantic access area was available, that was a major access area where the IFQ fishery participated in from 2016 really through 2020. And as that area declined in 2021, we see the number of trips start to peter out. For Area 1, that has also been a very substantial and important access area for the fishery. Other than that, in 2023, we saw that the first year where the IFQ component was allocated trips within Area 2, which is in eastern Georgia's Bank, and the relatively few trips were taken to that area, which is understandable given the relatively small size of vessels in the IFQ fishery and the distance from shore where Area 2 is. And so overall, seeing the decline in overall trips taken to access areas over time, by the end of the review period, the majority of trips are being taken on the open bottom, as well as in the Northern Gulf of Maine following the implementation of Amendment 11. Amendment 21, I'm sorry. Shifting to bycatch, overall the IFQ component share of bycatch is relatively higher, proportionally higher for the southern stocks of flatfish with scallop fishery sub-ACLs. So the southern New England Mid-Atlantic yellowtail and southern windowpane, those are proportionally larger than its 5% share of the allocation. Generally, the IFQ component interacts less with the Georgia's Bank stocks. The one exception to that we'll note is that in 2018, the IFQ component was attributed 67% of the scallop fishery bycatch of northern windowpane flounder, but typically that's around 5 to 7%. Overall, despite that, the IFQ component, because of the small share of the overall allocation, is a relatively small share of the overall bycatch and not a substantial contributor to exceedance of any sub-ACLs. And largely that's a focus of our rotational management program rather than the structure of the IFQ program. And then to our last question that we addressed in the review, looking at safety, compliance, and enforcement. We had relatively little data to go off of here, so this section is brief. Overall, there were 9 IFQ permits that had individual quota overages on average annually between 2016 and 2023. And that's a decline from an average of about 16 permits per year with individual quota overages from 2011 to 2015. During that period, there were no overall IFQ quota overages. Compliance with VMS pre-land reporting requirements increased from about 74% to 87%. And then overall, we were really unable to gather any NOAA OLE data looking at total violations or scallop-related violations. So that was a bit of a hurdle for this review. But given the available data, that there was evidence of increasing compliance with scallop fishery regulations for the IFQ component. And then lastly, looking at vessel safety, two metrics we use to investigate this. On the left, the average IFQ trip length by area, where we really see a slight increase in the length of the trip for the open bottom, but a major increase once the Area 2 allocation came into place in 2023, which really increased the overall trip length for the IFQ components of spending more time catching their allocation. And on the right, the overall vessel age across our review period. There wasn't a major change in the year built by the permit year here from 2016 to 2023, showing that there really wasn't a change in the vessels over that period. There weren't too many vessels being retired or new vessels being built. And so overall, the fishery has aged across this review period, which led us to conclude there may be an increasing risk of negative safety implications for the fishery due to that. So wrapping things up, our conclusions around these four questions we attempted to address in this review. Firstly, has the IFQ fishery resulted in benefits to the nation? We looked at producer surplus as the main metric of this, showing that a slight increase in producer surplus between the previous review period and our review period indicated a slight increase in their net benefits to the nation. We didn't see large changes in net revenues, and note that crew incomes may vary to the extent that leasing costs are really being passed on. Our second question, for vessels' ability to participate in the fishery at different levels or preventing excessive shares, we note that vessels participating at different levels across a fairly broad geographic distribution is still in place. But that really is shifting over this review period, and dependence on scallop revenue is increasing, and the fishery is increasingly shifted towards ports in Massachusetts. We've seen an increasingly active lease market that really allows broad access to quota, but there was a strong indication of increasing lease dependence that may lead to inequalities in the fishery. We saw a slight increase in quota holdings by the top 10% of affiliations, but that consolidation looks to have largely been stable since 2020. And the number of affiliations is still 90% greater than the level the share cap would allow. And so there are 76 affiliates noted in 2023. If every affiliate in the fishery was at the 2.5% share cap, that would be 40 affiliates. And so we're still above the maximum amount of consolidation that the fishery current limits would allow. Lastly, on number three, controlled capacity, mortality, and fishery conservation and management, we've seen a reduction in the number of vessels and overall capacity across the fishery, as well as a reduction in landings over time. The IFQ component has not exceeded any of the catch limits during the program period, and bycatch of key stocks has remained constant or declined as a percentage of scallop catch. And lastly, we've seen improved compliance with VMS monitoring requirements. The total number of monitored offloads has remained low, and the size and frequency of quota overages has been low, though the average age of vessels and average trip length both increased over the program period, really suggesting that the IFQ vessels, the overall safety of IFQ vessels may be declining. And so that wraps up our summary of our general category IFQ report. We just want to note to the council that, you know, any next steps regarding this review report, if there are any recommended changes to the IFQ program that the council would like to consider, we can consider those as part of the SCOLP strategic plan in support of any 2027 and 2028 priority setting discussions this year. And with that, thank you, and we're happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Nelson and Mr. Buckley. A very thorough report. To the council, questions, comments, discussion on the presentation. Mr. Hansen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Connor, what a wealth of information, a lot of information there. But one thing I'm trying to tease out of it, some of the things that the limited access general category has been accused of high grading. I did notice that there was, in your report, pricing difference between the limited access and limited access GC. And did you ever tease out landing composition, whether size, the sizes that is that are landed in relation to the limited access fleet? And, you know, just want to see if there is high grading or if the that increase in price over the limited access is due to maybe since the day trips, fresher scallops. Did you ever tease out the why there is a difference between the two different pricing for the different fleets?
Mr. Buckley.
Yeah, thank you for the question. It is something that the working group spent some time discussing. We did not tease out the difference in market grade composition between limited access and IFQ landings. There is a relevant paper that we reference in the report conducted by two members of the Science Center Social Science Branch that did look at price premiums in the IFQ fishery and did conclude that there is not a meaningful difference in landed price due to aspects like freshness or a real IFQ price premium in the fishery, largely attributing it to a difference in market grade composition. And so I think there is some truth to what you're saying, but the degree to that we did not dive into fully.
Okay. I mean, it's important when you're looking at conservation and management of the fishery. If there is high grading, that's a negative. I'd rather not see it at all. But thank you for the answer. It's just 128 pages of a report. It was tough to tease out some of that other information. But great job on all the data that's there. It's overwhelming.
I would think you would call that a very thorough report. Back to the council. Any questions, comments on the presentation or on the report itself? Seeing none, I will go out to the public for any quick comments, questions on the report. Seeing none, good job, you guys. I will turn it back to Ms. Griffin.
Thank you, Chair, and I'll echo the previous comments to staff. I know we didn't do you any favors constantly delaying this, so it was a nice comprehensive report that you guys finally were able to give to us, so thank you. At this time, Chair, I would make a motion. It's not a committee motion. I'll wait for it to get on the board. So I would move that the council accept the LAGC IFQ program review report as complete and share the final report with NOAA Fisheries.
Once that gets on the board, we'll look for a second. Mr. Popolard, are you seconding this?
That's correct.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, any comment on the motion from the public? Seeing none, I'm taking it there is no opposition to the motion on the board. Any abstentions? Seeing none, this motion will pass with unanimous consent. Ms. Griffin.
That is all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, staff, for what you've put together here.